later, did you ever think that, you know, Optimus Prime would be such a huge character that you'd still be doing him? I mean,
he's... No, not a bit. You know, to be honest, when I was killed in the 1986 movie that with Orson Welles, I had no idea why. I've answered this question before, but in all truthfulness, when I was reading the death scene, I was stunned. I said, you know, a lot of things go through your mind as an actor. You'll say, was I that bad? You know, what did I do? What's the reason? I mean, yeah, and you try, but you're going to look for the most negative. You know? And I did. I said, well, you know, I must really suck. This is, you know, I mean, because we had no feedback. We didn't have fan letters. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have any source of communication with the outside. If in fact there were fans that wrote letters, we never received them. So there was no gauge, there was no thermometer at all to tell you, you know, what the popularity status as you have today. So when the opportunity came for me to do a convention in Rochester, New York, and I think that was 1997. I went back, and I had to be convinced to go back to it because, quite frankly, I didn't spend any time thinking about it for all those years. And when I went back, I was really surprised at the reception that I got, and it opened my eyes. And that's when I first began to realize that through numerous expressions of gratitude coming from the audience. And in some cases, heartwarming and very, very mind-moving. And it was from that point on, so I would say 1997, so it's quite a few years during the convention circuit, but I had no idea up until that point. There was a kid in New York City. And this is at the very, very beginning. And I've shared this before, but it sticks in my heart. A kid got up in the middle of the audience. He said, with the New York accent, I forgive myself right now and any other New Yorkers in here that they say, hey, don't do that New York accent, Peter. You know, you don't. What are you doing that for? You can't speak. Get out of here. Anyway, this kid got up and he said, Mr. Cullen, I just got to tell you, if it weren't for you, I'd either be in jail or I'd be dead. All my friends, either in jail or they're dead. But I came home to watch Transformers. And he's just a young guy. I mean, he can't be 20 years old. And he's a tough little guy. And I just listened to him. If it weren't for you, I mean, for me, watching Transformers, just me, you know, you were my father. You raised me. So yeah, that was a whoa. I never forgot that. And in successive moments like that in my career as a voice actor, I always call myself a voicician. Hey, you got music guys, a musician, voicician. Okay. So I think about it all the time, and inevitably, at one point or another, there's going to be something very similar to that. Even here today, I've experienced it a couple of times. So it's very humbling, and it's a marker in your life, and I become very grateful for it.
I'm here at Animation on Display AOD 2015. It was held January 31st through February 1st at the Hyatt SFO near San Francisco International Airport. Now, just before I started, somebody from the Hyatt came by and asked me to make sure I don't display any Hyatt logos in this. So throughout this entire review, you will not see any Hyatt logos. They will be blocked out with other things. And food options here at the Hyatt SFO, where I can't show their logo. Brunch is $46 for an adult, and it's crazy. They've also got the hotel serving some food down by the registration area, but yeah, I've blurred out the... I've done stuff to their logo on those menus because... Whatever, it's Hyatt. It's the Hyatt SFO. I'm not showing their logo like they asked. The Hyatt that won't let me show their logo. I don't know if the con had anything to do with that or if it was just a management thing from the Hyatt SFO that won't let me show their logo.
So first off, one of the first things, if you look at it, they ask you for a panel title. And this is something I think a lot of people stumble on, and that's trying to be clever, trying to, you know, find a joke or something. But honestly, don't try and be too sneaky with your panel title. This is the first thing people are going to see when they look at the program guide, when they look at, say, the guidebook app or something like this. And your panel title should absolutely have truth in advertising. If they can't figure out what your panel is just by reading the title, or at least have a bit of an idea enough that they want to read the description, you might want to rethink it and ask yourself, would someone who doesn't know what this is be able to figure it out? And best way to do that is ask your friends and say, hey, I'm going to do a panel on this. I want to call it this. What do you think? Or even just say, hey, I'm going to name a panel this. What does that make you think? And it's a good way to just kind of get an idea of what you're going to be doing. And that's super important, because sometimes you could have a great idea, but people won't go to the panel because they have no idea what it's about from the title.
We're also going to start going back to our first episodes. For those of you who saw them, we used to do monthly episodes instead of weekly, and we'd have 4 segments in those episodes. So now we're going to start pulling those out separately, and that way we can link to them and talk about them, and you can see some of the stuff we did back in the beginning. And there's some pretty cool stuff we did in our first few years when we had that format. So we're really excited to share it with some of our newer watchers who might not have had a chance to see those yet.
Okay, we have a voicemail that Elizabeth has.
It scared your cat.
Everything scares the cat.
Okay. Sorry, I should have had this prepared. I'm not prepared.
We did be prepared.
I suck.
Like, this is why we're not professionals.
Yeah, this is why we don't get paid the bill.
Quick!
It's the banana show! Banana, banana!
Hold on. Start over.
Hold on, starting over.
Too much banana.
It's movie phone. There's less than 2 weeks to animate Boston.
Oh, no.
Who's excited? This guy.
Because you're not making costumes, movie phone.
Yeah, we're taking... It's still going. It's like a countdown? Sounds like a countdown. It's beeping.
Oh, no.
Is my phone going to blow up?
You said it's a bomb?
You said it's a bomb, movie phone guy?
Ba-bomb.
Oh, it's over. Okay, I guess we're okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm in Boston's in 2 weeks. Downstairs are our costumes that we're working on.
Yeah, they're kind of there, as in started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody who wants to volunteer to sew the rest of mine is perfectly welcome. I won't pay you.
Not it!
Alright, what's next?
Let's see.
Let's take a look at the anime conventions that are coming up through May 2015, as found on animecons.com.
Oh, I'm looking forward to May.
May. There'll be no snow. I hope.
You just jinxed us.
Sorry. Awesome. So, we gotta get back to costumes, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Farewell. Can go see my ass.
I was gonna send that to Patrick Diaz's, and he can edit it.
Yeah.
Because I think he'll want to see all of this. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Patrick. We miss you.
We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Keep it continuous. Lastly, I have a personal question for Patrick. I know you may not answer this entirely for security reasons, but what part of California did you move to, and what's it like there? I would like to move to California someday, and could you also please give me some advice for living there? I'm not going to answer that publicly, no. If Patrick does want to tell you, he'll probably email you back. But the only thing I can give you a suggestion is bring water. They don't have water in California. There's no water in California. By the time you get it out there, it'll be dry. Bring water.
We did go to the masquerade earlier. And there was some great costumes there, but... The masquerade, now, as you told me, it's improved.
Yes. Being fair, it has improved a lot this year. It started on time, and it generally ran better than the last 2 years.
And that scares me, because this was one of the most disorganized costume contests or masquerades I've ever seen. It's up there with, like... The Snafu Con that I had last year, and another Anime Con back in 2009. They were trying to download stuff off of Gmail while they were doing the contest. There were a lot of technical issues.
Yes, two years ago we participated ourselves and we got to see it firsthand, and we had our audio cut out in the middle of the performance, and
that happened a lot here. At least three skits in a row where they're on stage in the middle and the audio cuts and they just walk off.
This time stagehands didn't run onto stage and pull them off stage.
Oh.
They let them finish this time. When we did it, we got pulled off stage. So
wow.
Again, things have gotten better.
There was an amazing... there were two Miyazaki skits. Mm-hmm. The first one was funny. Then the second one came off and blew our minds.
Yeah, that was a great
skit. It was so good.
And amazing.
I do have... I recorded the entire masquerade, so I'll have that up in our extras feed at some point soon. And you can fast forward through all the technical issues, which I'm going to leave in for your own enjoyment, so you can experience it as if you were here at Fanime. They had Toto Takamatsu. I said that wrong, but the shake hands man, he was the MC.
Yes.
He did a pretty good job. I got tired of the manamana joke fairly fast.
Again, it was an improvement, though.
But yeah, he was killing time, because there was a lot of time to kill between skits.
So tip number one that I took away from reading all the resources that people kindly linked me to is have a theme. Now, this is something I realized I never did with my previous attempts to have a table set up at a convention. I just plopped whatever I had, and I draw in several different styles, so I just had it all. Yeah, have a theme. And I decided, since the book that I will be launching at the convention, the first convention that I will be going to in months, is the most adorkable thing I have ever written, so I will choose cute as my theme. The second tip that I received from the internet is be prepared. This is also something I never ever did. I would show up to a convention table with no tablecloth, no price tags, sometimes no money, and I would have to borrow change from fellow artists at the neighboring tables, which was truly embarrassing. But this time, I made a list. Tip three, plan the display. Do it at home so that when you get to your table, you're not paralyzed by what do I do with all this stuff that I brought. Building up with stands, easels, having a banner, a stand-up banner behind you or in front of the table, depending on the table setup and the convention rules. The post also suggested to not clutter up the space and give your items space to breathe. Tip number four, bring things to sell. Now, this may seem like a no-brainer, but again, I have done this. I have shown up to conventions with not nothing to sell, but like a thing that I had to offer, and this giant table that I had to fill with this one thing. So this time I will not make this mistake. This part is called the plan. Part two will be called the result.
So when people say that Otakon has crazy insane lines, you believe them. Out of every convention that I do, and that's some 20 to 25 cons a year at this point, the worst lines I have ever encountered have been at Otakon. Maybe this is a testament to how popular the convention is. Maybe it is a testament to how big of the draw it is. Maybe it's a testament to how this is, as I have said time and time and time again, Otakon is the big pilgrimage of the East Coast con scene. Maybe it's just a combining factor of all three. But I can tell you one thing. When you go to Otakon, you are going to be standing in that line for a long, long, long time. Don't believe me? Sid, how long has Alyssa been staying in line?
Probably bordering 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours.
Yes. My first Otakon, I stood in line for 2.5, and ever since it's been like 20. But you want to see a line, people? You want to see what kind of big line you deal with at Otakon? Feast your eyes on this.
An abomination unto the Lord. You better color your coloring books and read your comic books.
This, my friends, is a registration line. Exactly. The worst line I'd ever seen prior to this was Anime Boston 08, otherwise known as Line Con, where I got my badge really early so I didn't have to deal with it. But my God, look at this. But I am going to say something, people, and this is something that I mean from the bottom of my heart. For Otakon, it's worth it. Seriously, this convention is completely 100% totally worth it. Wait in line for the 4 hours, get your badge, enjoy your weekend, because I guarantee that you will.
I've wanted to go to Otakuthon for quite a while. I used to live in Boston, and it's just a 6-hour drive. And what got me curious about it was because it's a bilingual convention. And I was wondering, how does that work? How can they have both English and French at the convention? Well, they've made it work really well. At things like opening ceremonies, you'll have the MCs introducing in both English and French, and then English, and back and forth, so you don't miss anything.
Bonjour, Otakuthon 2015!
Hello, Otakuthon 2015!
Merci à East West pour leur super performance.
A big round of applause for East West for their amazing performance. So, let's start off with asking, who was here last year at Otakuthon? What about the last 3 years? What about 5?
7?
Any diehard otaku since 2006?
Et merci beaucoup.
That is amazing, and thank you.
Et cette année marque la 10e édition.
We'd like to mention that this year is the 10th edition of Otakuthon.
In response to my Say in Japan report, Gaspar Heller writes, "This con sounds awesome. I agree on the dealer's room thing. Otakon has the same kind of thing, except when you go out, you have to go up and all the way around to the right of registration and back down. The Artist Alley is on the opposite of the BCC. I think this was put into effect from around 2011 or so. So annoying." Dude, what's up? responded, "I live in San Antonio, and I've gone to San Japan every year, and it gets bigger and better every year. It is really a great con. The dealer room entrance and exit was meant to flow traffic away from the main entrance to the convention center. Because they had the large game room on the opposite side of the dealer room, so that way all traffic will have an exit away from the main entrance." Yeah, as some cons can tell you, I don't hold any punches in my con reports. If something's wrong, I'll talk about it. Fortunately for San Japan, the only thing I really had to comment on that I thought could be improved was that entrance and exit to the dealer's room. And for those of you who didn't see the episode, the issue is that at, you walk into the artist's alley through one set of doors, and there's an entrance on one side and exit on the other. And then you go to the left to get to the dealer's room, and there's an entrance there. But you don't know that the exit is on the far end unless you happen to walk by it and notice people walking out, or you try to go out the entrance and they tell you you have to go all the way down to the other end. I think part of this can be resolved with signage, because people walk in, you walk into any place, your natural instinct is when you're looking for the exit, it's probably where you came in. And this is actually why they have exit signs in buildings now, because there was a large fire in Boston back in, I don't remember, it was a long time ago at the Coconut Grove, and people crowded the entrance because that's what they knew. They didn't know there were exits at other places, so that's why you're now required to have exit signs. And so I think when cons plan out their dealer's room, they should keep in mind that people will look for the exit where they came in. And so the entrance and exit to the artist alley worked out pretty good, because you go in one side, you come out the other. And it's not like there was a huge mass of people trying to get in and out of the San Japan dealer's room. You could easily just say, okay, this side is entrance, this side's exit, works out fine, rather than have to send them all to the other end. And, you know, you could at the other end have that also be an entrance and exit. And it really helps traffic flow, and that way people don't get annoyed when they end up back in one side and realize, oh, I've got to go through the other end. I noticed this the following weekend at Otakuthon. I wanted to mention it in my report, but I forgot, but Otakuthon had the same thing. You walk in one side, it's the dealer's room, and you had to walk out the exit. And I think if you open multiple doors on either end, it helps with the traffic flow, and people don't have to always flow in one end, always flow out the other.
All right. In our response to a Twitter message, Melissa McCommon wrote, "Oh my God, the janitor in the back of today's AnimeCon's TV outtakes."
I didn't even notice
yeah,
that.
that's pretty classic. That's
I like that.
It's like, oh, there's a camera.
Some people just know when there's a camera.
Just know.
They just know.
I'm waiting for Patrick to go like this. Go. Close in. Anyway,
thanks, Melissa. Good catch.
Hey, Patrick here. I just came out of KrakenCon Fall 2015. It was held on the USS Hornet in the Hornet Museum. It's an aircraft carrier that was retired, I think it was 1998. And so they've got, well, it's an aircraft carrier. And I've never been to a convention in a venue such as this. This was an incredible experience. It's unlike any other convention that I've ever been to, because, you know, they're all in colleges or hotels or convention centers, not boats. This is crazy. They had their regular dealer's room and artist alley with the screenings in there, except it was in the hangar deck of the aircraft carrier. They also had, they had access to the USS Hornet Museum, so you could go through and see helicopters and planes and space capsules. They had an Apollo capsule in there. And they had the facility where the astronauts would be quarantined to make sure they didn't have moon germs. And so there's a lot of cool stuff. They were giving tours of the bridge. They had a ghost tour. Lots of stuff going on. In the map, you can see they've got the flight deck, the hangar deck, and make sure I don't forget anything here. They had food stand inside, Apollo exhibits, vendors, artists, card gaming. But they had a lot of cosplay gatherings up on the deck. The first time I've ever seen this happen. I've gone to a lot of costume contests. I've never seen this happen. Right after the last entry came up, the judges come up and start giving awards. And so when you watch my recording of the Masquerade, which I will have posted by the time you see this, I hope, there's no cut. You'll see the last entry goes up. It was Starscream from Transformers Prime, and then leaves, and the judges come up. No cuts. It was amazing. And truck backing up.
So again, talking about the parades and stuff, we do events of all shapes and sizes. I mean, we hold stuff small, like we do the large things like the parades, but we do small things like library events and charity events and stuff like that. So, and then there are the occasional rock star crazy things, and including Weird Al's. Well, this is us bragging a little bit, but it's, you know, an incredible experience that we get to do because of this.
We may have been on the field at Fenway Park. We may have been on stage with Weird Al. We may have had Lucasfilm call us up to hang out with George Lucas on occasion. Maybe these things have happened. I'm not going to say they have or haven't, but you know, just maybe.
Yeah. But, and as neat as those are, and like, it's definitely bragging rights, you know, I think one of the things, and it's once again kind of goes back to the heart of the thing, it's the little moments, some of the little events that we talk about.
We're going to talk to you about resin casting, which is a great way to improve your cosplay, like accessories and props, and it comes in incredibly handy, and it makes everything look a lot nicer when you learn how to do it. You start by mixing the actual resin.
But this stuff is kind of, for the most part, very, you know, friendly, so it's really just, you know, eyeball how much you use.
And then we use a disposable material to mix them.
Alright, so you start off with your resin part. Alright. And you just pour them out. Now remember, because this is a one-to-one, you want to pour in half the amount you need of the first part, and then the remaining half of the other part.
Right, you don't want to pour enough with just the first one to fill your mold.
Yeah.
You'll end up with way too much.
Sometimes I'll go like that. Oh yeah, they're at the same level, I poured in the
Perfect.
Same amount. Alright, so now it's all mixed in there. It's all sloshing around. But mm-hmm. We want to make it some blue. Now, this pigment, generally pigments, are very strong. You don't need a lot.
Right.
You know, one drop can do you for a light blue. If you want a darker blue, 2 to 3.
Do a dark one.
Yeah. So just drop in a little bit.
This can be something that has to be a little trial and error too when you're trying to get a particular color.
Drain off. Now, here's the big, big, big thing to remember about this. You cannot make these gems the night before. These take actually 24 hours to perfectly cure and be hard. Okay. So basically what you would do is just paint your cup to make a funnel. And
want me to hold it up? Yeah. We can see. Okay. Start pouring.
Yeah.
That's a pretty color blue. Now I need to make a costume to go with these gems.
Oh, yes, that's the excuse. So as you see, I actually used more than I needed.
Yep, that filled up one, so we're making
a... I'm judging here, I can probably make this little one next to it.
Cool. So if you can see this, you'll see there's a little pool of bubbles kind of floating on the top, and that's what he was talking about, where the bubbles are actually removing themselves from mm-hmm. the gem and coming to the surface. And if you make something big, they actually kind of look pretty cool. Like those hearts, I remember being a pretty cool shape. So this now has to sit somewhere level. Yeah. That's the other hard part about something with a rounded bottom like this. Is you want to make sure it doesn't shift around while it has to sit for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. And but if you're in the northern Nevada, Nevada, I think that's how it's pronounced. I got flack last year for how I pronounced Nevada because I grew up saying Nevada. I guess it's Nevada. Is it Nevada?
Nevada.
Nevada. Okay. I'm from Massachusetts in Maine, so. Nevada. Okay. Nevada. And sorry for that, guys, last year. I'm new here. So, but if you're in the northern Nevada area or the Sierra Nevada mountains, you know, anywhere north of Sacramento, come check it out.